the work that God wants to do in us is just as significant and maybe more, I don't know. But I mean, I know that God wants to do deep new things in us and perfect the image of his son, the Lord Jesus, in our lives and our life together. And so there's a sense in which you're never just getting on with the work. You're always also attentive to what God is doing in you. So it's a new season and an exciting one. And the challenges, the God-given challenges, will continue because God uses those difficulties and struggles to do great work in our lives.
Welcome to the Jesus Stories Podcast, inspiration for the road ahead. I see and hear that God is up to all kinds of great things among us, through us, and around us. But far too often these stories aren't told. And I think it's time to tell them, because these Jesus stories have great potential to encourage us and inspire us, forming us to be a people who multiply disciples. This is a podcast of the Ontario Conference of Mennonite Brethren Churches. But whether you're MB or a friend from a different corner of the Church of Jesus, I'm really glad that you're here, and I'm pretty sure these stories can be a blessing to you too. I'm your host, Ryan Yonsey. Thanks for joining us. People are meeting Jesus, and it's time to tell these stories. Welcome today to the Jesus Stories Podcast. I am thrilled, actually quite pleased, to be introducing you to Trevor Seeth today. We're taking a break from our Church Called Tove series, where leaders across ONMB have been discussing what it looks like to foster cultures of goodness across our churches. So the reason for this break is that Trevor Seeth is the new executive director for our Ontario Conference of Mennonite Brethren Churches. If you haven't seen it already, you can head on over to onmb.org for the full official announcement from our board of directors. So welcome, Trevor. Thank you very much for joining us in this little get-to-know-you conversation.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's an exciting reason to meet up and chat. Absolutely.
Yep. So before we begin, I just want to, I want to acknowledge the good work that our board of directors and our search team have done. They took the time last spring and through the summer to hear from people from our churches, the leaders of our churches, and to seek God for where the Lord's leading us in the years ahead. So as they prayed and discerned over a number of months, the search process began this past fall. Jeff Yonsey of The Gathering Church, Kevin Bain of Cornerstone, Rafika Massey of Beta Daria, Sarah Patterson of Scott Street, and Jeff McLeod of WMB made up the search team. And I must say that I personally was quite impressed with the thorough work that they did when they brought to the board and the staff, just the findings from their search. A number of candidates applied, and then they brought Trevor, the primary candidate, as a recommendation to the board, and very grateful for the work they did. The board then proceeded to take the time to get to know Trevor, to interview him, to discern and pray, and come to a decision. So here we are. Trevor is going to be starting at some point in the next number of weeks, January-ish. And thanks for joining us. Let's take the time to kind of hear, Trevor, who you are, how God's formed you as a leader, how that call emerged to this position. And then also we want to hear from you your sense at this point. You know, of course, you'll discern that with the board in the months ahead. But from where you're sitting right now, who do you think God is calling us? What territory do you think God is calling ONMB into in the months ahead? So why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself? Who is Trevor Seeth?
Yeah, that's a great soul searching question. I'll tag on first of all to everything that you've said by way of appreciation to the search and discernment process and team, as well as the board. It's always interesting to kind of be in an interview with 10 people on the other side of the table kind of thing. We met on Zoom for some of those conversations, but just so thankful for what I perceived was a very intentional and prayerful conversation with me, but also really listening to Jesus and following him through something that's so significant and important. You know, we don't want to be, I don't want to be stepping in the wrong direction, and I don't want ONMB to be stepping in the wrong direction as we begin that discernment. So it was fun to see it all just really be orchestrated, I think, by God to where we are now. So who is Trevor Seath? Well, for those of you who know Myers-Briggs, one thing, I'm an INTJ, which apparently is an odd one. Although I come across people in ministry who have that type. You can look it up. It'll show you all the ways in which I'm weird and messed up and some of my strengths as well. I'm an Enneagram 3, which is an achiever. Again, that's both a strength and a weakness at times, but that's how I'm, that's what those assessments tell me about myself. I'm a Toronto guy. I've lived most of my life essentially in a small town inside the city of Toronto, with family and friends, churches that have been significant in my life, all within kind of walking distance of where we live as a family in Don Mills here in Toronto. I mean, I'll say that in 1977, at the Imperial Six Theater, south of Dundas on Yonge Street, I watched Star Wars Episode 4, and it changed my life forever. And then in 1984, I bought Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, and I haven't recovered from that experience either. So I'm a Star Wars fan and kind of geeky in that respect, for that kind of fantasy stuff. And big Springsteen fan. Julie and I were married in 1993, so over 30 years now of marriage, and we have four adult children, Taylor Ann, Mackenzie, Jory, and Kyle, so three daughters and one son, and they're all doing great, and that's who we are.
Yeah, awesome, and we'll certainly do more of a deep dive along the way. The fact that you're a Star Wars fan is very good news for Christy Lee. For our listeners, Christy is our executive assistant. She also is a fan, and I, the other member of our staff team, I am not.
So sad.
I know. I'm a little unusual that way. I've not gotten into Star Wars. Maybe you can work your magic there, Trevor. Yeah, and just to say, for many of you, Trevor Seath might be a new name. Perhaps you've seen Trevor's name or seen his picture, heard it in the territory of C2C over the years. For many of our leaders, Trevor has been a dear friend over the past decade, a little over a decade now. And just a trusted friend, encourager, and just appreciated his presence, his heart for Jesus, his humility. And really is quite an encourager to many of us. And so there's this element of newness to many across our constituency, and yet dear and trusted friend to others. And of course, just want to honor you as well, Trevor, for the big role that you've played with a number of our newer churches as well, in terms of just shepherding them in their growth as a church, as well as even shepherding them into the MB territory. So yeah, maybe before we go any further, maybe there are folks who are wondering, like, I hear this label tossed around, executive director, but I don't have a clue what that means. So what's your, based on the job description you've seen, everything that's been communicated to this point, what's your best understanding of what the executive director of ONMB does?
Yeah, I don't know that I'll hit all the points of the written role description. Yes. So let me just take a stab at it in general, which is to say, I think it's a convening, catalyzing, supporting, encouraging, strategizing kind of role. It's very much a come alongside. Like, director is a strange title often in Christian ministry, because no one really, controls things. And particularly that's true within families like the Mennonite Brethren. God's leading, and fruit will be born in the local context of churches and new churches and disciple-making initiatives across Ontario within the Mennonite Brethren family. And I think the executive director, together with the rest of the staff team and the board of ONMB, serves to cheer that on, to facilitate it. Sometimes I've seen myself as someone who's sort of like cutting through the thick brush so that something new can thrive and move more quickly. So it's often behind the scenes kinds of things that an executive director gets to do to just fan into flame good things. And of course, there's also times where there's hurt and brokenness and conflict and challenge and difficulty, or where there's a lack of clarity administratively about important functions of the family. And I think that's the sort of work that an executive director gets involved with as well. Hopefully, it is also going to be a story of identifying new leaders and coming alongside them and encouraging them, equipping them, introducing them to opportunities and people who can be a part of their emerging story. So that's another element, I think, of the coming alongside dimension, the catalytic, encouraging, fanning into flame dimension of this role that excites me. Last thing I'll say is I'm super excited that ONMB is only one part of a national Mennonite Brethren story. And so that executive director role, this new role that I'm stepping into, is also a role in partnership with other leaders across the country. Yes. And that's huge because that strength that comes and the support that comes and the sense of team that can come as leaders join arms and say, okay, let's work on this all together is super, super exciting. So that's all that comes to my mind on that.
Yeah, all good stuff. Yeah, when we think of that national collaboration, for the sake of our listeners, that involves a place with the national ministry team. The national ministry team is made up of the national director for the Canadian Conference of MB Churches. So that's Cam Stewart, will be starting later this spring. And Ken Esau, who's the National Faith and Life team. Director Jason Kruger, who's the director of Legacy. And Bruce Enns, director of Multiply, Mark Westner, director of MB Seminary, and then the regional directors, who are the parallels to Trevor across Canada. And that's just been a tremendous bunch. I have to be honest, Trevor, I've loved working with that team, and I'm very pleased to be shifting back to my ministry director role. I think that's the best thing for this stage, and I think that's God's direction. But that is one point of loss, is sitting with that team, because they really are they're a good bunch that I see God at work through. And I think there are good days ahead for our national collaboration and the national ministry team that you will be sitting with.
Absolutely. Sorry about that.
No, that's
that you'll be experiencing, but yeah, I'm excited about that team as well. Very much.
Yeah. Sad, but quite happy. So maybe this would be a good point, Trevor, just to hear about your ministry experiences to this point, even your call to church leadership, and then what are the different territories where God has placed you to serve and to lead His church and the mission of His church?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to reflect back, and I'll start in on my interest in counseling, which was the primary interest in my mind as I went to university out of high school. Our family had really benefited from the love and support that we'd received from a Christian psychologist, a friend of ours, surrounding the death of my older brother. My brother died in a plane crash in 1991. Psychologist, a Christian man, had just been a real help and encouragement to us. And that was early stages of university for me, and I guess really solidified. I already really liked this guy, and but definitely Jonathan's ministry to us as a family solidified a real interest in psychology. And at the University of Waterloo, that's what I studied together with some business courses. And coming out of that, was really unsure about whether I would go forward to pursue, at the time, an interest in industrial psychology. So stuff around motivation, conflict resolution in the workplace, teamwork, all this kind of thing that companies pay psychologists to research and work on. Or even at that time, coming out of university, wondering about whether God was calling me into ministry. And I took my time on that. I actually worked for a bank for a number of years. Julie and I were married at the time, where our children were coming along. And I was still kind of musing about whether ministry in the church was actually where God wanted me to serve. And that was a season of prayer and conversation with people that I really respected. And I just remember the clarity that eventually emerged, and any interest that I'd had in door number two of going to graduate school for psychology just kind of evaporated as it became super clear that God was leading in this direction. And ultimately, that led to a sort of a surprise first assignment in a local church, an Associated Gospel church here in Toronto. That's the family of churches that I grew up in. And this particular church, Julie and I joined it about 7 years prior to me stepping into pastoral ministry there. So we'd been members in the church and really involved over the years there. I'd done some interning with that congregation while I was doing my seminary degree. And the church went through a split in the last year that I was at seminary. And I had expected that I'd get to serve in a healthy church experience with a great mentoring pastor, that kind of thing. And that's not how it turned out. God led us into serving that struggling congregation during a time of crisis, which we didn't have language for it, but was a replanting sort of a story. There were, you know, fewer than 40 people left in the congregation once this split occurred. And God made it very, very clear, a couple of things very clearly came into focus for us. One was that our future needed to be evangelistic and community impacting. As a church, we needed to reach out into the neighborhood that surrounded our building in a very intentional way. And I also felt very clearly that God was making a way for us to do the work of the church collaboratively. And so that's what we did. We collaborated with mission agencies, with other local churches. We got really involved with the school, a Toronto District School Board school that was nearby, and partnered with other community-based organizations as well, and really started to try to identify what were the opportunities to love people, to share God's love with people. And that looked like some practical expressions of teaching English and helping people with employment mentoring, underemployed newcomers to Canada who really needed help to articulate the great work experiences and skills that they had, and in a sense repurpose their resumes for a Canadian context. And we got involved in helping with that. We did after-school programming and a great summer camp program. And so this little church, through partnership, was able to punch above its weight and really have a greater impact. And it was an exciting time. We ended up being there as a family and in this role as lead pastor at this community church for 13 years until 2012. And it was a fruitful time in so many ways, and especially exciting to see people coming to faith. I'd been a part of a church growing up that was a wonderful church. At the same time, it was a church where the people who were getting baptized were typically the teenagers of families in the church who came to that point of decision. So super exciting to be a part of this Bridal Town story where we were seeing adults and whole families discover Jesus and commit to follow him for the rest of their lives. And it was a wonderful thing to be able to baptize people in numbers and in ways that I had not personally experienced before. So that was how the whole story kind of started. And I felt, you know, really pressed by God into a challenging situation. I was 29 when I took on the role at that church, and it felt like all the momentum was headed in the wrong direction. And there was a lot of pain in the midst of that story. But so exciting to see how God led us and all the opportunities we had as we just put one foot in front of the other, prayed a lot, and saw what God wanted to do. And in the midst of that, I started to really be interested in church planting. It felt like we were planting a church with some significant advantages in the sense that there was a building that was already owned by this congregation, that kind of thing. So it wasn't the same as church planting, but it was pretty similar. Mm-hmm. And that led me into wanting to help church planters who were starting new churches within that group of the Associated Gospel Churches. And I reached out in a couple directions to better understand how I might be able to do that. And one of them was reaching out to Terry Wiseman, who at the time was the church planting director, essentially, for the Mennonite Brethren here in Ontario. And I learned a ton from Terry, and together with another gentleman, Gord Martin, at an organization or family of churches called Vision Ministries Canada, the three of us started to find ways to collaborate so that those three groups, the Ontario MB, Associated Gospel Churches, and Vision Ministries Canada, could support things that kind of fell in the category of this might not happen otherwise. Maybe if we can collaborate, some fresh things can occur. And those projects looked like things like the Jesus Network, which was launched originally as 614 Thorncliffe Park, but we got to work together on helping that vision. Move-In started as a collaborative project during that time as well. And we also were able to really be involved with a Farsi language, an Iranian congregation called Spirit of Truth Church, particularly as they started something called Farsi Christian Ministries, which was to support and collaborate with Persian pastors, first of all, here in Ontario, but really excited that during the pandemic, that whole expression just exploded because they went on Zoom. And when you join an FCM meeting nowadays, I was able to speak for them in one of their Zoom meetings just last week. And there were people on that call from Iran, Turkey, Armenia. People join in, not last week, but folks join in from Australia, Germany. And so it's just so exciting what's happened. Yeah. And anyway, so that was all, again, this sort of collaborations piece and getting to know Terry, first of all, but then ultimately as well served for many years with Ed Wilms on the board of the Jesus Network and got to work with him on some other things. And so, yeah, I was just sort of learning and getting excited about the MB even during that season, which is sort of, you know, 2006 to 2012. And then trying to make a long story short, it was in 2012 in November, God had made it really clear that he was leading us out of the ministry that I'd been in for 13 years with Bridal Town Park Church. And in November of 2012, Julie and I went to what was called a retreat at that time. They were later called summits, but it was a C2C network retreat out west. And we did that in a season of discernment, trying to see what God would have next for us. And that was a very, very powerful connection with Mennonite Brethren culture, actually. What we really were struck by in that gathering was, first of all, the way that women were honored. As church planting stories were shared at that retreat, couples would come forward and share the story together. And just coming out of my background within the Associated Gospel Churches, that was entirely unfamiliar. The stage kind of presence at that I would have expected would have just been men pretty much on the stage. So right away, we were both struck by how refreshing it was to see couples and the way in which women were being honored at that event. It was also an event that was much more open to the work of the Holy Spirit than we were accustomed to, and that was very refreshing. And it was way more prayerful than I'd maybe would have expected. There were lots of times where we were just breaking out into groups to pray for church planting stories that were emerging across the country. And so those elements, the openness to the Holy Spirit, the emphasis on prayer, and the elevation of women in leadership in these church planting stories all really stood out in that gathering there in 2012. And those were things that sort of hooked our heart for the MB family in particular. So I might have started to talk more about the MB than you asked me to, but
no, that's anyhow, fine. That's fine.
There's the story.
That's beautiful. That's wonderful to hear. And we'll go down a couple of those pathways in a few moments. But just thinking, Trevor. So having been with C2C, 2014 was your start with C2C?
Yeah, I started full-time with C2C in 2015, actually. Okay. There was a season 2013 up until then when yep. I was part-time working with C2C. The provincial director at that time yes. was Greg Lang,
yes.
and I was supporting his work. And I was doing that through a partnership that we'd formed with the People's Church here in Toronto. So I went from being on staff as the lead pastor at Bridletown Park Church to being on staff as a member of the global mission team at the People's Church, which is a larger non-denominational church here in Toronto. And as part of the global mission team at People's, I was released, a significant amount of my time was released. They paid for it, but I was allowed to or blessed to serve as part of the new and developing C2C network team here in Ontario, focused really on starting an incubator for church planters here in Toronto, which was a training expression. And then in 2015, as Greg and his wife Andrea relocated to British Columbia, and Greg joined the Multiply team there in BC. There was a need for a director for C2C Network in Ontario. And so I stepped into that role full time in 2015.
Okay. Yeah. So here you are in the close of 2023, having discerned with the board of O&B, as well as I'm sure you have some trusted counsel around you, but you have sensed that God is leading you to serve in this role with us at this time. Why do you feel that the ED role is the right fit for Trevor Seeth at this particular time?
Yeah, great question. I mean, for one, as I hope it's already clear, there's a genuine love in my heart for the Mennonite Brethren family. And it's not something new or that it's, you know, just happening as a result of this discernment season that we've been in. It goes way back, as I mentioned, to 2006, and a great series of opportunities to work with Terry Wiseman and Ed Wilms during that season, where I was also encountering other folks in the Mennonite Brethren family here in Ontario. And so there's that, you know, I just love the family. And
it's interesting, Trevor, that you say that, because we'll touch on this in a few moments as well. But in terms of the relationship with C2C following the Multiply D merger, C2C and ONB, it's just been a little more ambiguous the last couple of years. And yet you've just been like faithfully, you know, just showing up, being present, blessing, encouraging, all that stuff. And there's been a couple times the last year and a half, you know, Christy Lee and I having like zero inkling that this would be something that you would step into. And we've looked at each other like, why does Trevor love us so much? He's just always there smiling and encouraging. We don't quite get why Trevor loves ONB to the extent that he does. And it's just funny to look back because we legit had those conversations. So anyway, what you express has certainly been evident over the last number of years.
Yeah, that's cool. MB people are easy to love, I guess. And, you know, and then in terms of this role in particular, I do feel that there are gifts and experiences that God has given me over the years that are relevant to this kind of leadership. Mm-hmm. There are ways in which there's continuity between the type of leadership I've been able to offer so far, even in the role with C2C and all of the iterations and expressions that that's included, and we'll talk about that. But yeah, I just see this as a natural development, a natural kind of next step in terms of gifts that God has given me. And I feel as though the experiences that I've had coming alongside leaders at various stages and in a variety of different ministries, it's not only been church planting kinds of storylines that I've been able to come alongside and participate in. I think that those experiences have developed some muscle memory, I guess, and some strengths and capacities that I think are going to be relevant. So there's that piece. I think anyone who has been in ministry for a while will know what it feels like for God to begin to disrupt and just stir things up, and that sense that a new season is coming. As I described, you know, entering into that role way back in 1999 with Bridletown Park Church, that wasn't a comfortable kind of situation. On paper, who wants to be the pastor of a church that's just gone through a split and has so few people? And so that experience really helped me to discern between what's my emotional response to something and what's actually God's leadership and what is God saying. And then as we came to 2012, and it was clear that that season had come to an end after 13 years, and that God had something else for me to step into. It was a similar kind of moment. It just felt like, oh, okay, I know what this is like, where God is stirring up some restlessness, also some excitement for something different, some sense in which the path is taking a different turn. And so, in this season, there's been that same sense. It's like the theme music for change just starts to play again, and you go, oh, okay, Lord, you know? And so that's been, I think, the foundational reason. I had some folks come up to me and encourage me to think about this opportunity, and I was surprised. I was surprised by the who of, you know, like who came up to say things to me. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't have, you know, that just sort of came out of left field. As I then put the thought of this role in front of other people, I kept getting favorable kinds of responses. So, Yeah. I think that's the best answer I can give you about why this role, why now.
Wonderful. Good stuff. So the story of C2C has been a real, it's been a mix of some really beautiful pieces. We're so blessed with ONMB to have three particular churches that were planted and are in membership or heading toward membership. That would be Manotick Community Church up Ottawa direction, Southeast City Church in Ottawa, as well as Bytown Community Church. And they're just such beautiful parts of who we are. And you've played a role in, as you mentioned earlier, with the Jesus Network, with Move In. And, you know, those preceded the C2C story, but we're certainly coaching them, and including Derek Parento as well in your C2C role. So both, you know, within Ontario and then broadly, there's been tremendous fruit. And yet it's been a tricky story as well. And that kind of culminated in the merger and demerger with Multiply, and certainly a lot of emotions and feelings and opinions about all of that. And that's a reality. And so I'm just curious, given the beauty, but also the tricky points, how does that story and your place within that story, how does that inform, prepare, complicate, relate to your call now to lead ONMB at this time? So it's just kind of naming the elephant in the room, or what's your sense of that, Trevor?
Yeah. Just before I go there, thanks for remembering Derek, because Derek and Tiffany Parento, that is such an exciting story, and it was a wonderful opportunity for partnership in the early days. Actually, I was still pastoring at Bridletown Park Church as Derek and Tiffany were discerning God's call to leave Toronto and move at that time to Parry Sound, and I was able to introduce them to Terry. Because the Associated Gospel Churches really didn't have any capacity to support them in that step. And been like just an amazing unfolding story of how God has worked. And it's been so fun. Like Derek is such a dear friend and someone that I've learned such a huge amount from. So I'm so glad
just, we didn't just forget to mention him. Yeah, and to interject there, Trevor, that is one of the strengths that I see you bringing into this role in terms of familiarity and love with the Ontario Conference of MB Churches, but a particularly kind of close relationship, a relationship of trust with those who are doing disciple making, kind of on the edges of the denomination, kind of on the margins or off the beaten track. And, you know, we love them, but they're kind of out there doing their thing and we get excited about it, but it's easy to kind of forget about them. And how do we draw them in, or how do we bless them? Like, anyway, given your existing trust and heart for those, that's a strength that you bring in terms of leading us both to explore new territory, but also then to kind of strengthen those ties and develop relationships of mutual reciprocity, strengthening what is already present. So I'm quite excited about that aspect of leadership you bring into the role.
Thanks, man. All right, so let's go back to the tougher thing. So merger, demerger, all of that. Well, I mean, I've seen up close that, you know, wonderful God-given vision is not enough to ensure success and health and thriving. You know, I think that I've seen in that story, in the C2C story and the merger story and the demerger story, that when God calls his people, part of what he's doing is he's calling leaders on a journey where character and integrity and humility and all those things are going to be tested. Mm. And, you know, I think that's all for our good. It's all for our benefit. But there's a sort of crucible that we're sometimes in when we're leading something. And the vision around C2C and the Multiply merger and all of those things, it was a big vision. And so I think the pressures around that vision and some of the challenges were also big. So I think just because we're excited about where we believe God is leading does not give us the freedom to neglect the character work and the trust building and listening and all of those things that are always going to be important. You can't just say, well, the vision is so great, we're just allowed to plow ahead and move forward. I don't think that's ever something that God invites us to do. I think we're always meant to move forward at the pace of trust and relationship. And at the same time, we have to work together. And some people have very, very strong leadership gifts and vision capacity and all those things. So helping one another to lead well with all the different gifts that we have, and making room for strong leadership gifts and making room for strong discernment gifts and making room for people who are more detail-oriented and tend to be more careful or concerned about the impact of vision on people and relationships. All of this stuff needs to really work in concert so that Jesus is glorified. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe to make a final comment, I think I've also really learned to question, I guess, our relationship with pace, how quickly we expect good things to happen. Because I think that was something that was painful about the merger and demerger story, was that there was such conviction around a vision, and that stirred up this urgency that things had to happen right away. And then some of the other relational pieces were compromised, and the communication pieces were compromised, because anything that God's calling us to must be something that has to happen right now. It really strikes me, and I wanted to just quote this from Luke chapter 8, where Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower, where there are those four types of soil, and the last type is the fruitful soil, where we read that it produced, the seed produced a fruit 100 times what was sown. And I think the first time, and many times that I've heard that story, that parable, I just assumed that 100 times what was sown would be this explosive, instantaneous growth. I just imagine sort of like a magic soil where the seed lands and boom, there's just an explosion of fruitfulness. But that's not the way that Jesus explains that. When he's explaining the parable, he says, and this is the quote, "The seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it, and by enduring, produce fruit." That really stood out to me. The NIV says, by persevering. Eugene Peterson says, by sticking with it until there's a harvest. So I'm a fan of plodding. I'm a fan of relying on God's faithfulness, trusting Jesus' promise to build his church, and walking together in faith, one step in front of the other, and honoring each other in that way, honoring those who are going to be on the front and sometimes on the fringe and moving us ahead, but not neglecting those in the community who move at a slower pace or who have a different perspective. So those are some things that I've learned, I think, from that journey. And I really hope we can identify the strong leaders with exciting new vision, and that we can be the kind of family that cheers them on and makes room for them to lead and all of those wonderful things. And that we can do that as well with a genuine sense of community, a genuine sense of relationship, and not losing each other in the midst of a rapidly evolving vision, which I think is part of what, from my perspective, and I mean, no one person can get to tell the whole story and explain everything that occurred there. But from my perspective, that's some of what unfortunately occurred, was people missing each other and communication really breaking down in the midst of something that was moving too quickly. And so pace matters. And that's something that I'm carrying forward from that story.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you, Trevor. Really respect, appreciate your thoughts there and the compelling picture that you paint in terms of who God is calling us to be. And I know I personally feel this way, and I think I can speak on behalf of the other pastors and leaders around me in terms of us, as you've navigated that territory in the last number of years, just the courage that you've shown, the humility, the persistence and perseverance. Like, I know I've heard you say, like, at the end of the day, when it was just kind of the three of you left C to C and looking at each other and be like, you know what, there's still church planters that we care about and we want to cheer them on and catalyze new things. Like, this is just, it's what God's called us to. And so we're not going to go away. We love this ministry. So yeah, that perseverance stands out as well. And just, a ton of respect and appreciation for your place in that story and how you've continued. Trevor, you've shared with a number of folks around you and including the search team and board through this process in terms of some significant transformational work that God has done in you, your personal spiritual walk. Could you just give us a little bit of a window into that journey, into what God has been forming in you these last few years?
Yeah, so not surprisingly, the answer about God doing a deep work in my life really ties into some pain and brokenness. A leader reached out to me at one point, kind of had noticed, man, God seems to be up to some fresh things in your life. And as I shared the story, he said, oh, of course, I should have known that there was some pain behind the fresh work that God is doing in your life. So the story starts with a burnout experience. I mean, at the time, I didn't call it that. I didn't know to call it that, but I believe that's what was occurring. So this was in the fall of 2021 that I began to experience some real difficulties concentrating, reading. I couldn't read emails and focus and concentrate in that way. My energy level was low. Went to the doctor. I suspected that I was dealing with depression, and I went to the doctor to talk about that, and was diagnosed with depression. Started on some medication to try to help with that, and also reached out to a counselor and began counseling. That was all helpful and good, but it wasn't changing things rapidly by any means. You mentioned that there are three of us who work in C2C Collective. So I was letting Ron Leonard in Vancouver know about what I was struggling with, and Patrice Nagan in Montreal, my two teammates. And we were trying different things to shorten my work week for a while, see if that was helpful, that kind of thing. Eventually, by February of the next year, so 2022, it just wasn't working. And I wasn't really getting any better. Been on medication by that time for months, and been seeing a counselor regularly. And I just was not in a good place. And so I took a break from work, and almost immediately, once the pressure of trying to show up for at least a minimal amount of work was not there, I just collapsed, and I was in bed for days. Really, you know, a good day for me in those early, at that point was like, okay, get out of bed, get dressed, eat, and I'd already begun walking regularly during the first sort of season of the pandemic. And so walking was really important. And I clung to Jesus during that time. I don't think I've ever been as desperate to know that he is with me and to grip him. And so that's what I did. As I mentioned, I couldn't read. You know, I'm not saying that I lost the ability to be literate. I'm just saying I couldn't focus. And so all the passages that I knew from the Bible were kind of how I interacted with Scripture during that time, the stuff that I had memorized. And in particular, Psalm 23, which of course is beloved, right? But and we all know it's a very visual psalm. You can walk through that psalm and the Holy Spirit will give you the mental pictures of all that David is writing about there. And so I lived in Psalm 23 and other passages of Scripture. I love Ephesians, and so I was able to recall things that I had memorized from Ephesians and other places. And I had sometime before begun to use a written prayer on a daily basis, something that I had written to sort of express my surrender of myself to God. And so I continued to really rely on that memorized prayer. But yeah, somehow, despite being such a broken and weak time, it was a really intimate time, and in that way, a very rich time with God. It ended up being a four-month break. I'd intended to come back after Easter in April of 2022. Wasn't able to do that, which was quite terrifying. I thought, my goodness, I've done everything I can possibly think of, including by that time taking 2 months off work, and nothing seemed to be different. But just that desperate focus on Jesus, and the rest did a deep work. And I think, you know, in a similar way to I described what it's like to know that God is stirring you up for a fresh season, and I become familiar with what that feels like. And I use the metaphor of sort of the music of change coming back on, and knowing that something new is coming. I experienced in that season of clinging to Jesus, I mean, I know what it is like in a deeper way than I ever could have before, for Jesus to meet me and for Jesus to be my source of strength. Mm-hmm. And I understand what joy is. I know what it is to have great joy in confidence that the story that God is writing ends perfectly well, despite of the fact that I had nothing to offer and everything that was familiar to me about my identity and making a contribution in kingdom work and all of that was taken away. And that's a precious gift. And I think that's the main way in which something deeper and fresh and exciting was cultivated for me.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, and it is something that those around you, Trevor, have, as you know, they have noticed. I know in conversation with a couple of the fellows that you've coached in church planting up in Ottawa, and hearing them say, like, oh man, we loved Trevor before. But now this new Trevor that we see, and they've used those words, the new Trevor, you know, on this side of this significant transformative period in your life, like, man, we really love the new Trevor. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I share that just as an acknowledgement of the deep work of God in your life. And what that's beautiful, the goodness of God and clinging to Jesus through dark and painful times. Mm-hmm. Trevor, as you step into your ED role at this time, as you well know and as our listeners know, you know, we've gone through some challenging territory for ONMB over the past 12 to 16 months. It's involved some hard decisions. And that's the territory that you're stepping into. And as I pose this question, I also pose it, the territory that we're in, as you know, it's been a real joy, and it's with tremendous gratitude to God, actually, to see here in December. I suppose our listeners will be hearing this in January of 2024. Just seeing the degree of unity, the degree of focus, the degree of hearing from our churches and leaders like we're in. You know, not everything's hunky-dory, but things are incredibly hopeful at this mm-hmm. point. And so anyway, we've come through some a tough period, but we're in a much more unified and stronger position at this point than I would have expected a year ago. It really has been a working of God. And so I guess just with that description, that acknowledgement of our story in this last while, what's your sense of, the decisions that have been made? What's your sense of the territory that we've been in? And then how does that inform our way forward from this point?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was able to be at the meeting about a year ago-ish at Maple View, where the final and difficult decisions were made in response to the direction that a couple churches were headed in theologically. And to me, that felt like a very holy moment, actually. I felt as though the way in which that was done, the heart with which leaders expressed themselves, the way in which leaders on different sides of the question were honored, but at the same time, this sense of commitment to walking out faithfulness with humility, no matter what the cost was going to be. I think that is a precious thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the Ontario Mennonite Brethren family was given that opportunity to say in a fresh way, in a difficult context, with all of the painful cost relationally and everything, will you choose to follow me to the best of your ability, no matter what? And I think that the family said yes. And I believe that was a very important moment. And so there have been losses, of course, as a result yes. of that. And the pain is very real. And some wonderful leaders, who have done great things for God over the years, and I'm sure will do more great things for God in the years ahead, have been lost as a result of that decision. But actually, I think the family's stronger as a result. I think that those kinds of decisions make room for God to move in ways that only He can. So I'm not surprised by the sense of renewed unity, the sense of sort of maybe even like irrational hope in a sense, right? Like people would say, well, how could you possibly be more hopeful now than you were when you were in a stronger position in terms of the number of churches that were in the family, that kind of thing. But the hope is it's entirely rational, because I think it's much more rooted in and leaning on God to say, Lord, we really want only what you desire for us. Mm-hmm. And that's the story we want to walk into. No matter what the cost of that is. So yeah, I would have, I guess, a favorable feeling about that. I without at all diminishing the cost and the pain that is very real.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fascinating, Trevor, even as I hear your perspective on that and listen to you refer back to convention of 2023 and the decision making, the formal process of the removal of a couple of churches. And within me, I feel these emotions well up, some deep sadness, and yet just this sense of joy and hopefulness. Joy and hopefulness, like it, and you know, in conversations when I've described what I see across our churches, you know, it's been a tremendous joy. It really has been a joy. It's been an honor in this past year to fill the role of interim executive director and to spend time with our churches, mm-hmm. to you know, be with not all but most of them for worship gatherings, to get to know some of their board members and just to see what's up on the ground and get to know the pastors deeper. I'll be like, man, like, I don't know, like, am I just seeing this with rose-colored glasses, or is this true? You know, because I'm newer to this territory and kind of come in excited to be with this group that I feel this spiritual and theological affinity with. All that to say that as you've described in a variety of ways in this conversation, then in this last response, that for whatever reason, God has shown that He is with us. I shouldn't say, I mean, He's promised that, so that shouldn't be a surprise. Mm-hmm. God is with us, and He has poured out some real blessing among the Mennonite Brethren people. Like, there's this rich history, there's this rich, theological, spiritual identity, there's this passion for mission and sharing the gospel, as I just see this across our churches, as I see kind of a renewed collective sense of, all right, this is who we are, let's go. I'm excited. I carry a ton of hope, and so it's a real thrill having been in this territory for the past year now to pass that baton to you, so to speak, and to slide in behind you in a supportive associate role as ministry director. I keep pausing. Like, am I seeing this through rose-colored glasses? Am I like selling a story? I'm like, no, like, I don't think I'm trying to sell a story. I really believe that there are some beautiful days ahead of kingdom work, of gospel fruitfulness, of God extending His blessing through His people in this particular corner of His people that is the Ontario Conference of MB Churches. So, yeah.
Well, and if I can loop in, you know, sure. some reflection that I offered about the merger demerger season.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Just to say that, highlight again that I agree with you. I believe God is calling MB churches in Ontario and across the country into a new season that is going to be exciting and positive. Mm. And He's doing that because Jesus is building His church.
Yes.
And that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I think we also need to recognize that it's not like we just enter into a season where all of a sudden everything just clicks and is smooth and easy and all of that. So
yep.
I want to wholly affirm that you're not seeing things through rose-colored glasses. It's real what God is doing. But we don't want to, in a sense, like let our guard down and say,
right.
oh, because God's going to be doing these exciting things, we can just be entirely focused on, you know, pedal to the metal and moving things forward, because the work that God wants to do in us is just as significant and maybe more. I don't know. But I mean, I know that God wants to do deep new things in us and perfect the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus, in our lives and our life together. And so there's a sense in which you're never just getting on with the work. You're always also attentive to what God is doing in you. So it's a new season and an exciting one. And the challenges, the God-given challenges, will continue because God uses those difficulties and struggles to do great work in our lives. So. It's going to be a both and, I think, moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then is there, you've started to cast that vision already, Trevor, is there anything you'd want to add to that in terms of just what is your sense, you know, from where you sit today And you know, a good leader spends time with the people. We'll be working with the board to kind of set vision and strategy. But where you sit today, what's your sense of where God's calling us? What's your vision for the territory, the vision that you believe God's giving you for the territory ahead?
Yeah, I mean, there have been, I think, a number of things that just keep coming back as far as vision, and they're pretty practical and not surprising. One is, I think, a vision to clarify what we mean by being a disciple. I think a lot of times there's a greater gap than we realize when we use that language. And as people hear that, they kind of think, okay, well, what do you actually mean? How am I supposed to be a nurse as a disciple of Christ? How am I supposed to be a teacher? Why is that going to mean, what does that mean for how I lead my team in a company or build a business or whatever? How am I supposed to be a student differently because I'm a disciple of Jesus? So I think part of what will be exciting in the Mennonite Brethren story will be to clarify, what do we actually mean by living as a disciple, as practically as we possibly can, and not to impose that on for example, a local church and say, this is the way you must say things, but to have a conversation where there's a much clearer picture emerging among us about what do we mean actually practically in what some people have called the everyday stuff of life. How do you follow Jesus exactly? And important to that is, what does it mean to make a disciple? So we're not just disciples, but we're disciples who are making disciples. I feel like in some of our relationships with people who are not yet following Jesus, we're a bit like a dog chasing a car. We really don't know what we would do if we ever caught the car. You know, if we ever actually got a positive response from one of our neighbors or coworkers, and they say, oh, okay, well, sure, like, tell me what you mean. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I think a lot of us would be caught a little bit flat-footed. Like, where do you start in the Bible? What sort of things are important to share? How do you cultivate someone else's learning about prayer and discernment and listening to the Holy Spirit? You know, how do you coach somebody who's in a family where no one else believes in Jesus? Maybe they're married to a person who hasn't yet encountered Christ. What does it mean? Maybe their parents are really committed to another religion with a lot of passion. How are you supposed to make a disciple, really? So I think a lot more clarity about that would be really exciting for us to explore together. Along with that is the whole leadership development piece. We all know, and you don't need to read much or listen very carefully to catch on to the fact that in North America, we're facing a leadership crisis in the local church. And so what does it look like for us as a family to be having a conversation about how do we identify and encourage and equip emerging leaders for a whole variety of expressions in the kingdom of God, but not neglecting the fact that churches need to have great leaders. And I heard someone say recently, you know, when's the last time that you ever heard in a church service even, you know, an offhand comment about the possibility that there might be someone in the church whom God is calling to step forward into leadership in the local church? It's sort of something that doesn't get spoken about much anymore. And I think in that area in specific, together with all the other ways in which leadership can be expressed, we need to be having that conversation. And I think that looks like a lot of people who are currently leading, taking on people who they can mentor and invest in. But I think maybe as a church family across the province and possibly even nationally, we can kind of create some encouragement for that, some scaffolding and support for those kinds of things happening in the local church. Maybe just ways in which leaders can come together. And, you know, I think the Leaders Collective expression in Ontario has been a wonderful thing. And maybe I'm talking about something similar, but a bit more focused in on, let's be honest about the crisis that we're facing for leadership in local church going forward. The other couple of things that have been on my mind is just the significance of things growing organically. So just thinking about one way of thinking about this, I think, is just how the MB family is rooted geographically in Ontario. So rather than just arbitrarily saying, you know, hey, let's plant more churches or let's see more missional expressions or let's make more disciples, what does it mean for clusters of churches in our province who have geographical proximity to support one another in a vision around perhaps a new church being started or a new missional expression of some other kind taking shape? What does it mean to even just pray together more for that kind of word from God, that for that kind of clarity from God about a next step in Niagara, a next step in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, a next step along Lake Erie? What would a next step look like in Ottawa? What would a next step look like in Toronto? So I think that that kind of what I'm calling organic growth for us to look for fruit where we're already rooted is significant for our future. And lastly, and maybe most importantly of all for us, is our connection to the global church. I really believe that it is time for the Church of North America to stop talking about how strong we are, how resourced we are, to sort of say, you know what, we're poor, blind, and naked, and we want to learn from the global church. I think that leaders in the global church have so much to teach us, particularly about suffering and the way in which suffering is used by God and can be endured as the normal state of the church, and the church can still be thriving. Mm-hmm. These are lessons that I think we want to learn now and quick. Yeah. And so rather than sort of saying, hey, we've got a lot to offer the global church, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that we do have things to offer the broader body of Christ globally, but I think it would be much more relevant for us to say, what can we learn? How can we sit at the feet of leaders in the global church? So the connections that the Mennonite Brethren family has globally are, I think, really relevant as I think about our future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. And then do you have anything to express just in terms of priorities for you in the first 12 months in your role?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it really well. A good leader leads in a team, you know, so a lot of what I really need to be doing in this coming year is discovering more about the teams that I'm joining. So that includes, of course, the staff team with you and Christy. Discerning better and more clearly how my gifts complement the gifts that the two of you bring, learning more about perhaps areas of passion and gifting that each one of you hold that you'd love to express more, you know, that kind of piece. So just learning that team, but also the board team will be an exciting group to join and conversation to become a part of. And we've already alluded to the national ministry team and the opportunity to participate there. So there's a lot of sort of mapping and orienting and learning just with those three team environments. And then, of course, as you've described your past year, in a sense, like I get to be 2.0 of that sort of experience of getting out there. A number of the church stories I know quite well already, but some I don't. And I think that, you know, it's obvious that job one is to get in the car and go and visit people and be with them for worship gatherings and in other settings to get to know just, not just, you know, for example, a lead pastor, but a church family and a leadership team, God willing, in those kinds of settings across the province. So that's a big part of it. And then I just think we also have to be nimble and ready. Everything that I've said about plotting and putting one foot in front of the other in no way is meant to say that things that we're not responsive. When God shows us opportunities to come alongside something new, to fan something into flame, to encourage something, to facilitate something, I think we need to be ready. I do believe actually we're in a season where that's really well captured by Elijah's story in 1 Kings 18. This is after he fights or defeats the prophets of Baal in that showdown on Mount Carmel. And we see him at the end of that chapter looking out. He's actually praying and he keeps sending his servant to look seven times, I think, look at the horizon. And of course, this is during a time of drought. So there's been no rain in the land of Israel because of God's judgment against Ahab and Jezebel and all of their corrupt leadership and idolatrous behavior. And so the sky is clear. There's no sign of rain and everything's dry. And Elijah is just praying and his servant comes back and says, there's a little cloud. It's the size of a fist on the horizon. And Elijah says, run, because the rain is coming. And I feel like that's how God is going to move in our nation. I think we need to be a praying church. We need to be desperate for a move of God. But I believe God is going to move. And so as much as it's an orienting year for me, I believe all of us need to be saying, you know, it's Christmas time right now. This will be coming out after Christmas. But, you know, we have to be saying, I'm the Lord's servant. And may it be to me as he has said, we need to be ready to move as God does. And I believe God wants to move in a powerful way, in a really renewing way in Ontario. We desperately need him to. And in Canada. And so as much as I want to be well-oriented, I also want to be ready to respond as God opens opportunities for us to step forward and do fresh new things. So I don't expect it to be entirely a year on pause, you know what I mean? And just sort of doing nothing but getting to know people. But, you know, God will lead. And those things will come as we move forward.
Yeah. Well, Trevor, we have talked for quite some time now, and I'm sure we could talk for much, much longer. But that feels like a very suitable summary, and just that that picture of looking for that rain cloud, looking for the outpouring of God. And you know, as you expressed, like this isn't just about the Mennonite brethren. This is about the Church of Jesus, a number of different stripes and flavors, the Bride of Christ. And we, God is here with us, and we want to see his presence and power in new and refreshing, fruitful ways. And the sense that there is. We see in the history of the church, we see around the world that there are these moments of significant movements of God. And the sense that is in our future as God's people in Canada and praying toward that end and that readiness. Yeah, that feels like a really good summary. Before we close, I just want to draw folks' attention. If you want to hear a little bit more of kind of Trevor's heart for the church, I do encourage you to turn back in our list of episodes for Jesus Stories. So Trevor shared on chapter one of A Church Called Tov, Forming Goodness Cultures. Chapter one, April 26th. And there he also just, I found that to be particularly insightful, some real wisdom in terms of God calling his church in North America out of some of our nonsense of the past decades and toward the righteousness of Jesus. So I encourage you, I can link that in the show notes, but I encourage you to take a look back there. And this is just a thought as we're talking, Trevor. So if you're not cool with this, we can edit it out. But I was thinking maybe we could do a follow-up episode perhaps in February or March and just a Q&A. We could have folks across our ONB family. If you've got a question for Trevor, send send it in. We'll get you the information. You can send it to me, Ryan. I don't even know my own email address, Ariansi@onmb.org. And we'll get those questions to Trevor and do a follow-up conversation.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, just in summary, Trevor, thank you so much for this time. Trevor made mention that this is before Christmas when we're recording this. So just a little hint that there's a few of us that are really good at keeping secrets, and just Christmas and logistics, it's going to be a little bit yet. made public. So you got to keep the lips sealed for a little bit yet. I'm excited, Trevor. I know that our team is excited.
Me too.
And looking forward to what God's gonna do. And I share that Christy is quite excited as well. Looking forward to this new staff team of the three of us. And
One more Star Wars fan on the team. That's good.
There we go. I'm outnumbered. Yeah. Awesome. Well, could you close our time by praying for our ONMB churches, ministries, disciple-making initiatives? And then I'd love to offer a word of prayer over you. And we invite you as listeners, even though you're listening in after the fact, would you join with us and add your amen, add your agreement to these words that we're bringing before God?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to pray. Father, we love you. You are so kind and good and faithful. We just delight in who you are and all that you've done for us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you loved us so much, that you were willing to give all that you could at the cross, so that you could give us the right to become children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we just delight in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that seal of adoption that you've placed on each one of us. Father, we are grateful that you've included us in your family. That hardly seems like enough to say, but we are so grateful. And we're so thankful for your unstoppable purpose to have your way in our lives and in this world. And we just delight in the reality that one day the kingdoms of this world will become your kingdom, God, and the kingdom of your Son, our Lord Jesus. So, yeah, Lord, thanks that we get to be a part of an unstoppably good story that you're writing and that you oversee, and that you will have your way in our lives, in our churches, and in this world. Fill us, Lord, with faith. Renew our confidence in you. Help us to keep focused on you. Even strengthen, Lord, our capacity to trust you. And we just pray, have your way. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our family of churches. Have your way in our province and nation and our world. All for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, and so Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill Trevor in the days ahead as he prepares for this role. Would you speak words of life and truth over him? Would you protect him from the deceiver who would seek to discourage, to destroy, to trip up? And so, Lord, even in these days over Christmas and the first days of the new year, we pray for the fullness of your blessing upon Trevor, Julie, and the kids. And we look forward, God, to what you have ahead. Would you draw us together as leaders in unity, hope, and just a sense of how you're calling us to join you, walking in step with you, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we close this conversation by acknowledging your faithfulness.
Yeah.
You are faithful. You have preserved your children. You've given life to your children. We see that in Trevor's story over the years, and particularly in the last couple of years.
And we have seen that in the story of the entire conference of MB churches as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we honor you. And we express our eagerness to see where you're leading us next for your glory. For your glory. For your kingdom. We love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you so much, Trevor. Looking forward to more conversations in the years ahead.
And yeah.
Just a reminder to our listeners that if you have a question you want to toss to Trevor, you can get that to me at rjantzi, that's J-A-N-T-Z-I, at onmb.org. Send the question, let me know it's for a podcast conversation with Trevor, and we'll get that up in the weeks ahead. Blessings upon you, Trevor.
Thanks, man. Likewise. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah. Thanks for doing this.
Yep. It was fun. Talk to you later.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Thanks again for listening to Jesus Stories. It's my hope that this conversation has offered hope for your road ahead, for your journey with Jesus, wherever he leads you. Be sure to catch the next episode and the one after that by subscribing to Jesus Stories, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, if you've appreciated this, please help us spread the word, sharing the episode however that makes sense to you, via social media, shooting someone the link, or by word of mouth. To track with the MB family here in Ontario, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram at ONMB Events. And I also invite you to follow myself as I serve as the ONMB Ministry Director at Ryan_ONMB. For more information, you can also check out our website, www.onmb.org. And last, if you have a Jesus story that you think I ought to feature on the podcast, please pass that along. You can email it to me at rjantzi@onmb.org. Thanks again for joining me today. Have a great day, and I encourage you to keep your eyes out for Jesus stories around you, because God is up to all kinds of great stuff.